Carrying on with the topic of rebrand, this episode is looking at a very successful rebrand for Old Town Brewing. You might have heard of Old Town through a trademark dispute that the brewery got into with the city of Portland. That in itself is an interesting story with a happy ending. But the rebranding done by my good friend Jordan Wilson really has elevated Old Town in a number of ways. We dig into the how and why Old Town decided to approach this rebrand. As with any brewery that might be struggling to keep up with the ever-changing market, Jordan and Old Town jumped into this rebrand to create a label and branding system that would allow them to be more nimble with their beer releases. The rebrand also brought more attention to the Old Town brand as well, establishing more of a connection with their customers. Besides an amazing rebrand, they have gone all in creating captivating and entertaining videos and photography for their products. The result of all their work saw an overall beer sales increase by over 50%. Merchandise sales are up 70%, and community involvement and promotional requests have dramatically increased. Listen in as Jordan and I dig into his rebranding project and all the branding efforts done for Old Town on this episode of Branding Brews. We're getting super close to the Craft Brewers Conference in Denver, and I wanted to remind you again about my beer label and packaging seminar named Brand Forward, Maximize Your Beer's Potential Through Design. We'll be having a panel discussion digging into tactics, best practices, and strategies for package branding that moves beer. I'll be joined by Brittany Statt, the marketing director of Rohrbach Brewing, Matt Naren, the partner and account director of Cultivator Advertising and Design, and last but not least, Jeff Nowicki, the chief strategy officer for Bump Williams Consulting. If you plan on attending CBC in Denver this year, join us on Wednesday, April 10th, from 2:40 to 3:55 p.m. in the Four Seasons Ballroom, number 2-3. You can get the full details of the conference and the seminar at craftbrewersconference.com. Now, on to the show. All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Branding Brews. I am your host, Ryan Wheaton, graphic design and branding guy for the beer market. And today I am joined with a good friend of mine, another guy who lives in Portland doing awesome beer stuff, Jordan Wilson. And
what up, dude?
What up, my man? What up? Jordan is the creative director. Is that right, for Old Town?
Yeah, I mean, we all wear a lot of hats, but that sounds like a pretty comforting fit for me.
That was a good one? Okay.
Yeah.
Creative director for Old Town Brewing in Portland, Oregon. Jordan has just been killing it, doing some really amazing branding work when it comes to packaging and website and everything, and but then also doing some really amazing photography and video. Been getting some attention around here by a lot of folks, and it's kind of had this little theme of doing rebranding stuff in the last couple episodes. I just had an episode with the Dogfish Head package rebranding that was a really great episode. And I think this is a great one to follow up on because Jordan did a really great job rebranding. And so I wanted to talk about that process and how it all came out. And then there's also some stuff that was in kind of like some national spotlight regarding the trademark dispute.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of the quick little rundown. But before we get into that, like, why don't you let everybody know who you are and where you came from and cool. What you do?
Yeah. As Ryan said, my name's Jordan Wilson. I am a designer and creative director for Old Town Brewing and others. And I sort of came up about a decade in this game, illustration, brand development. I focus a little bit on photography and videography and basically just like kind of, you know, discovering stories and developing visual language to tell that. But I mean, you know, full disclosure, Ryan and I are homies, which is, I think, pretty exciting. A couple Portlanders here, and we're both in the beer world, so I'm eager to dig in.
Yeah.
I mean, we have this conversation over beer all the time. Like, it only makes sense that we're putting a couple mics in our face.
Yeah. I was trying to be a little bit aware, trying not to keep it too homie-ish for the people out there listening. So I think I think we'll keep it interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, rad, dude. So people out there might know of Old Town Brewing from the trademark dispute that went on between Old Town and the city of Portland and some other kind of, I think, big players in the beer game nationwide. So people might have heard of that, but maybe did not maybe remember the name of Old Town in Portland. But like, can you just kind of give us a quick overview of where, like, what happened and like how the end result, which I think, because that kind of ties in a little bit to the rebranding that you did.
Definitely. So basically the quick backstory is about 6 years ago, the owner of Old Town, his name's Adam Milne, he put in a trademark application on the stag image. And it's currently on a sign over the city of Portland and over Old Town. And essentially, he got issued a trademark for that image. No one else had thought to use it. And the way trademarks work is they're also categorized. And so he put in his trademark for, you know, your I think it's like your craft beer, wine, and spirits. And so anything within that, he got issued trademark to use. So like we can put it on bottles or anything related to any of those fields. And it's, you know, after that, after a couple of years, it became incontestable, which is sort of this legal status for marks that have been active and protected for five or more years. But soon after, Adam noticed that the city of Portland, tried to file a trademark on it as well for a whole slew of different categories. And a few of those actually included that craft beer and wine and spirit that Adam had the trademark for. And so initially Adam, you know, it's kind of a big, like, the city's a big entity versus, you know, Old Town is a small 7.5 barrel system, little tiny microbrewery. And so initially it's like, well, let's reach out to the city and on good faith and really try to figure out a compromise. And this went on for a couple of years back and forth. The city continually rejected offers. Essentially, Adam and Old Town really only wanted it for our small category. And when the city tried to file their own trademark, Adam got, you can sign up for this system that monitors and lets you know when new applications are coming that resemble your trademark, and then you contest it. And the only way to keep your trademark strong is to contest similarities. And so Adam, you know, again, set up all these meetings with the city, try to find a compromise, you know, letting him like, you can use it for your t-shirts or any other category other than the craft beer or the beer and alcohol related items. And the city neglected that a few times. They rejected offers and they appealed it, and they tried to file trademarks three times on this image and got denied every time. And it eventually, you know, this went behind closed doors for clarification.
Yeah. So the city tried to apply for trademark, which Old Town had already owned for the beer, alcohol, and spirits, like beer, wine, right? Okay, so so the city rejected.
The idea, we learned that the city wanted to license this image out, and to, you know, a lot of to bigger companies, you know, Maker's Mark, Anheuser-Busch, all these companies, they wanted to be able to license this thing out, whether it's a pint glass or bottles or on labels and stuff. And we were sort of in the way of that. And our stance was, you know, we wanted to compromise of, you can use it however you'd like, but just, you know, we built our brand around this and it would cause confusion in the market seeing that stag on other beer-related or alcohol-related products. And it essentially just got to the point, this went on behind closed doors for years. And you know, it's sort of like, if you can't beat him in court, beat him with your bank account. And it got to the point where those legal fees, again, we're a real small brewery. And it got to the point where Adam, the owner, decided to go public with this information. And that's where it started to take a really quick turn, because the community in Portland, and the beer community specifically, is a very tight-knit community. And soon enough, these other breweries and beer drinkers and writers all became like our voice in this fight. And I would say just within a few weeks, the city sort of turned around their ship, granted us kind of what we were asking for. And we settled in a good place, essentially, with kind of what we were asking for. And so, you know, it was a whole lot of, it was terrifying internally, right? Cause again, the city's very big and we're very small, but seeing the community gather around us like that was immensely rewarding. And really, really inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. The community totally came in really, pretty quickly.
Yeah, and in full swing too. Yeah. Which, you know, for us, it's like, it's tough when you're in that legal battle currently, because you can't say or relay all this information or kind of like speak your mind necessarily. But to have, like, you know, a lot of these, the breweries in particular, and having them, like, we had one here, they're called Rogue. They like banned the mayor of Portland from their tap rooms and breweries, you know, until thing was settled. And like, it was crazy, but it was really fun. Not fun, but inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, and I, somewhat a result of this, which is not, you know, it was it's a bit of a positive outcome, but obviously from not a great reason, but a lot of attention was brought to the brand, which can sometimes happen in legal battles. And like in the beer industry, is it like people getting aware of certain something and they can jump behind their local brewer, and then it kind of builds this buzz, and then people from there on out, like, I think have memories of cheering on this brewery. And so they can kind of like, you know, build some stronger brand, like, awareness and brand, like, affinity from these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough market, and trademarks in general. Like, I didn't know much. I mean, I knew enough, but I didn't really, this was like the first like legal battle, especially as a designer and someone who does logos, to see this kind of from the inside and play out was pretty telling of how difficult it is dealing with trademarks and dealing with infringements, and how expensive that can be to kind of keep what you have trademarked. And so it was definitely like, for me, I learned a lot, you know, just in terms of like, when, you know, when creating a logo, try to make it as unique as possible. If you're going to trademark it, like, there, I think, are good steps to take. And ultimately, you have to make sure that you're willing to invest in that mark. I mean, it is expensive to protect that logo. Anyone, if you ever get, you know, like I said, if this thing you sign up for, this monitoring company, lets you know that there are, you know, files that would infringe, if you don't do anything about that, then ultimately you stand to potentially lose that mark, or it becomes a little bit weaker. And so for small businesses, it's tough, because that can be a lot of money.
Right. And it's so competitive, and like the beer, because there's so much, like, so many names, and that I'm sure that's a challenge to stay on top of.
But yeah, so that was a sort of a big national thing that happened to Old Town last year, and sort of we've grown out from that in a pretty fun way, and I think that got us a lot closer to our community.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've seen that as well.
Yeah.
Right. And so leading from there, you know, that was part of the logo mark, was this leaping stag. Yeah, so going from there, I just want to kind of, let me start talking about the rebrand.
Sure.
So were you with Old Town when they started talking and coming up with the idea of doing this rebrand?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the kickoff really started about a year ago, and this was before this trademark dispute happened. But essentially, you know, and like, you know, Ryan, rebrands are more than just, you know, your visual identity or your logo. And so about a year and a half ago, we started having conversations of just like where the market was headed and how we're playing in the market, and really starting to develop this, like, where we'd like to improve and some goals we had in mind, right? And I think, you know, when you start to do that, I think you can start to refocus a lot on that visual identity, because ultimately we were redefining who we are as a company and our goals and our values, and the current branding that Old Town had wasn't necessarily aligning or speaking to those. And so I think, you know, it took about a year to really go from, you know, the idea to the release. I mean, rebrands can take a lot of time. I think it's also important to realize, like, there are a lot of touch points when you change out your brand identity, from, you know, not just packaging, but like your vans and the business card and exterior interior signage and all these things. But initially we started with a list of just areas of improvement. And for us, it was really boiled down to three major things. And it was, we wanted to improve customer relationship with our brand and not our beer individually. And at the time, our labels and our packaging was really focused on like every beer was individual and every beer had a different story. And that story is how we marketed to the consumer. But it was never like Old Town first. The hierarchy was just shifted differently. And the second thing we wanted to improve was we wanted to increase the number of package offerings and beer releases that we are currently doing. And the third is we wanted to showcase more of our personality and engage further with the community. So we didn't want to just, you know, be sterile, lifeless. We wanted to create a feeling of just uniformity and also people like a gathering place, a top of conversation. We're accessible. We wanted to really inject ourselves within this really fruitful community that we have here. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. So I think like, so when you looked at, so essentially you kind of like looked at the market and, looking internally and just kind of like look. So I guess that's just what I'm getting at. I was like, over time, it's just one of the situations where it just had, you just like kind of have that feeling of just like, oh, let's kind of like look at where things are going and then let's mm-hmm. analyze and go from there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think when we started talking about these areas of improvement, I, that improving customer relationship with the brand versus the beer was probably one of the biggest ones because, you know, at the time, again, our labels were really just focused on those individual stories and we were only releasing a bottle, maybe one or two bottles a year. I mean, compared to what the market is now, like that's crazy and probably unsustainable. And so we wanted to shift this entire concept. And we wanted, you know, we quickly learned a couple things because we were at the time on the shelf, but we maybe only had three or four beers out there. And we learned that, you know, people were directly associating our beer and not the brand. And the example is like we had like a Shanghai IPA and we marketed it as, you know, it's this historic beer and Old Town has all this history and historic ties to Portland. And this was a branch off this story. But it ended up being like people were like, oh, we love Shanghai IPA. And they were unsure of who brewed it. And it sort of reflected on that. Like New Belgium had that same issue of their Fat Tire, which sort of became this sub brand. And they wanted to tie it back into like, you know, this umbrella of the brand. And the hierarchy changed. So we wanted to make sure that all the beer that was coming out, people understood that it was an Old Town beer. And then we could also tell the story of, you know, our core values and our historic ties and anything we wanted under the umbrella of our brand. And we also realized that our current identity, it didn't correlate with, again, this heritage that Old Town has. It was kind of all over the place. It was really colorful. Everything was like really illustrated heavy. And it just kind of failed to really capture that historic spirit that was in the company. And so within those two things, you know, we really wanted to change out our visual identity to sort of match, to put the brand out there in focus more. And also just being able to tell, like, again, these historic ties that we have to the city and the fact that, you know, we're kind of more a heritage brewery and stuff like that.
I think that's a bit interesting because so many people are pushing out these just one-off releases and everyone's just like, oh, let's do all this crazy artwork.
Yeah. I think it's good to break that system. Right. And we certainly have since, but at least at that time, it was us changing from individual bottles into a uniform systematic design for these flagships that we're putting out. Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think it just also reinforces the fact that like that you need to develop some sort of brand, you know, for the brewery, just not for the individual beers themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you later on then came up with a way to start releasing these one-offs that I'm sure we can probably get into, but
Yeah, I mean, it was a step-by-step approach. At that time, we were really only doing flagship stuff because we're only putting out a beer or two a year. It was real slow. We were real small and we were just kind of getting into the more and more of the beer scene itself and packaging itself before we were kind of draft only. And so with the current labels, the interior, the first iteration of the labels, they just weren't working. And, you know, in this market, especially, it's so competitive and it's so important to be able to stand out on the shelf. And we, you know, also found out that we shortly realized that our bottles together, they weren't really working together. They weren't creating this cohesive, you know, presence on that beer shelf. And so we wanted to be able to strengthen that shelf presence and that uniformity and maybe I can like, I don't know if your listeners, maybe in the show notes, we can post a picture of the old labels versus the new. Because the old ones, like even the logo was secondary to the illustration, to the beer name. It was just kind of hidden. And essentially we just, we wanted to restructure this visual identity to be able to put out, to increase the real estate of our brand on this packaging and speak Old Town first. And then sort of the story under that umbrella.
Yeah, great, great approach. Like trying to make sure that the brand's recognizable first and foremost, and creating like the billboarding effect and just like a more of a brand appeal from the shelf for sure.
Sure. Yeah, and also, you know, we ended up going with, and it's pretty common, is another goal we had was not only to increase again that brand awareness, but also we wanted to put out more beers, and that can be really expensive for a small brewery if you're doing individual labels that are each different, that each take a long time. I mean, the market at that time was starting to shift a little bit more towards releases more frequently. And so in order to combat that, we created sort of this templated system for our bottles, which, you know, had like the same placement for things, but we would switch out colors and information, obviously, in specs and stuff like that. But in doing that, it brought the cost down so much more that we could put out more beers. We can put out more specialty beers. It just opened up more capital to sort of tackle that second goal we wanted to, which was to put out more beers in the market more frequently.
Yeah, and I think it could be an interesting, maybe way of looking at it. It's like, because you've created a great looking label, it's not going to be this crazy, crazy art or, or maybe even like stolen IP that's going to be catching all this crazy buzz on Instagram.
Yeah.
But that then opens you up, as you're saying, to have budget to market in other ways and develop your brand in other ways, which you've definitely done through photography and video, which if we have time, I'd love to touch on.
Sure.
I'm curious to hear, your approach, like where did you start? So you obviously realized, all of these things, that you wanted to get, be more tied in with the community. You wanted to have the brewery brand be more upfront and be more aware. Where did you start? Like, how did you approach it?
So it started with really trying to figure out the look and feel of, before that, taking a step back, it really started with redefining our goals. And a lot of them were touching on like tying in more historic and trying to look, trying to match the quality beer we were putting in. I think it can be hard if everything is just like this trendy design eye candy, and also just establishing a more cohesive feel. And so I started with just tackling the current logo, which at the time was just like a horizontal text with a stag in the middle, and it was just, it didn't work in a lot of real estates. I think it, it's hard to grow, and it was it just wasn't working in favor of trying to increase that real estate within packaging and stuff like that. And ultimately this stag that we mentioned is a pretty unruly shape. It's not balanced, it's hard to center, and it's a leaping stag. And so trying to find that place and put that inside of a sort of this brand system is difficult. But I ended up sort of combating that by putting the stag within a shape and then restructuring the type and building out a sort of brand suite, which is essentially a bunch of different elements that can kind of play together and you can break and pull, and it all sort of feels like the same cohesive brand, but there are different elements to use in different real estates, which nowadays is so crucial, because it's not like you just have, you have to do your responsive websites, things to work on mobile, your avatars, and then like different packaging, what's going to look better on a can versus a bottle versus a hoodie or whatever that is. Like, it's good to have a brand system that can sort of fluidly reside into any real estate. And so we started kind of there. And in particular, we started to pull, different, just, I wanted, essentially, if we're talking labels, especially, to look like these labels belong in the scene that is Old Town. And for anyone who hasn't been there, Old Town is a really beautiful building. I mean, it's constructed of just like raw materials of brick and copper and cast iron and wood. And everything's built from all these like old antiques. Like, I think the floorboards and the walls are all from the early 1800s. And the owner has a really good eye for all these like sort of historic reclaimed materials that he built out this brewery with. And so I wanted the look and feel of these labels to kind of reflect that. And I did that in certain ways where the color palette initially was where I pulled from. We have like our cast iron black and our top copper, and I pulled all these colors from the building itself and then organized it in a way that sort of fit this more aesthetically pleasing. And essentially these labels could sit inside this brewery and it makes sense. So these actually are more, before our bottles, just they looked out of place. And I think they weren't a representation of kind of that aesthetic and look and these historic values that Old Town has. It wasn't promoting any of that. And so these took a big step back, and it's pretty significant change in order to reflect that more. Right. So essentially it was just starting trying to tie in these elements visually and how to make that work within something that could be, you know, around for more than just a couple of years before the next rebrand comes.
Right. So basically you had just like one version of the logo that didn't necessarily work on a lot of applications, right?
Yeah.
So you went in and kind of made sure you created a system or kind of created these different ways to lock up the different logo elements. They could be placed in different shapes and sizes and different. Mm-hmm. So that's something good to look at, because then, if you're a brewery, you just have one logo, you might have already felt this pain of like, oh, like, yeah, it's too long to fit on this square, whatever, or like on a button or a sticker, you know? So you might've already felt this pain. So I think it's great to be able to go back to that like core element of your brand, you know, the logo identity, and create a system to where you have all these different options. So that's like a great foundation. So when you come across these different placements, you're just like, oh, well, we've got this logo variation here that works perfectly for that.
Yeah.
And so then talking about the labels and the colors that you said you drew from the brewery, like in the building itself, was there much of a color system at all, or like color coding with the previous labels?
There was, like, everyone was a different color, but that was almost secondary, because it was, everyone was like a different label almost. Like, there was a mild template in terms of like the logo was this little stripe across the top and then the beer name was at the bottom, but ultimately every bottle was so different, and every bottle was its own illustration, which is cool. And we've kind of brought a little bit of that kind of stuff back into it, maybe a bit more reserved into like our one-offs, but these were our flagships, and these are things that were there year round, and they just, they were a little too, all over the place for kind of where the brand was internally.
Gotcha. Perfect. Okay. So, so I guess let's keep talking more about the label process.
Cool.
Felt like it was important to pull out some of these colors and feeling kind of from the brewery itself. The logo and the labels were one of the most like important elements, you think, that you in your next step in regards to the rebranding?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if we talk about these goals that we initially defined earlier on when we were talking about this rebrand, it was to put more beer out there, and also to sort of increase that brand awareness. And I think, you know, for us, it's like we have so much focus on this beer that the labels certainly were a big impact, because they addressed, because it was systematic and it was kind of template based, that we could put out a lot more stuff more often, because it's expensive and it's time consuming. I mean, before, one label might take, you know, a month, especially if it's illustrated, like we go through concepts and ideas and there's a lot of labor involved in creating this like true artwork piece versus, you know, something that is just really kind of a plug and play. And so we knew the market, at least here, you know, in the Northwest, was really focusing on frequency and new versus this model of these flagships. But essentially we wanted to start, with something that we can tie up or open up more opportunity to put more beers out there, or better ingredients or whatever, because we have less capital invested into, creating a label that could take like a month or something. So for small breweries like Old Town, it was a great answer.
Yeah. And they're kind of like, to a certain point, almost like the idea of like the wine label, right? Where it's like you have this really nice, elegant design that looks really sharp, and then essentially relying on just like the name of the beer and style, like being kind of not super prominent, but being the main differentiator between, well, obviously like the color, but it's that kind of approach, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, for sure, it's a bit more refined and a bit more reserved. And I think Old Town, especially, it's like the owner and the brewers, they have such a strong focus on trying to make the highest, you know, quality beer possible. And I do think, like, it was tough for them getting out the gate because they were a pizzeria first and then evolved into a brewery, where to get that kind of reflected and to, like, kind of really that promise of high quality, I think is tougher out of the gate when it's like a very illustrative, heavy colored, saturated label. Like, it didn't work. It was sort of missing the mark for us. And I think, you know, sort of this more refined look has really helped elevate us more into, like, the beer world. Like, I think they just sit better within the brand.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if there was any in the redesign process of your labels, was there any, like, any concepts that you tried that you were, like, super stoked about that just, like, once you started trying to apply them, just didn't work?
Yeah, I mean, initially it wasn't as refined. I mean, we started figuring it out more, and because we did this in cohesion with sort of redefining the company and the message we wanted to put out there. And essentially, like, there, I think what we ended up being was probably my favorite direction. But earlier on, we definitely focused a bit more on, like, maybe instead of illustrations, we could do, like, every beer is, like, a cool different, like, lettering style, and we could do a different typography or a custom letter for each bottle, and we can sell the brand, take up, you know, decent real estate. But even that started to feel a little disingenuous, but for what we were trying to achieve. But yeah, I mean, we went through months of iterations. We touched everything. I mean, this was, the undertaking was pretty massive for us, because if you look at, you know, the before and after, they're significantly different, to the point where, you know, people weren't even aware who we were. Like, again, people knew about our beer. They knew, like, oh, the Shanghai Day is great. Shanghai IPA is great. But they didn't really understand who brewed it, because it was such a secondary part of the hierarchy. And after this came out, I mean, we got way more recognition as a brewery first, which was great for us. I mean, that was a big goal we wanted to achieve.
Okay, cool. So right. So you've developed this really great system, and it's proven to work well. Like you just said, starting to recognizing, like, more of the brewery first and the brand, the brewery brand first. So how has that system developed over time? Because, I mean, I think you're talking about doing a lot of, like, your, like, flagships or kind of, like, core beers you're releasing. But then you're obviously now starting to do some more of, like, the one-off specialty releases that you've gotten a little more creative with. So how did that start getting, like, incorporated, and how'd you work that in?
Sure. Well, I think it kind of happened in a couple different ways. I mean, we released this rebrand, again, kind of before this trademark thing happened. And up until that point, it was really just trying to get people to recognize, like, we are Old Town, you know, and associate us with the beer side of things, and especially the Stag logo. And after the trademark dispute, that stag icon that we have became pretty recognizable and associated with us. And so it's kind of giving us this free reign or more comfortability of just stamping that on something and not having necessarily all that other information of Old Town Brewing and Portland, Oregon, and all this stuff. Like, we felt it gave us this freedom to kind of just put that on there and, you know, kind of cleaning that up even further. And ultimately, you know, a year ago, the market was so different. And now, you know, the market is sort of swaying away from this flagship model and more into like these specialty one-offs. And so for us, and especially, this is all bottles. We're talking 500 milliliter bottles is what we started producing. And that's what our flagships are still currently in. But the one-offs are really, the can market is kind of the name of the game right now. And especially these, like, limited series one-offs. And so we really wanted to put some focus into that. And in terms of just, we're breaking our template even further, because I think ultimately, like, it's hard to create the same excitement if every label looks exactly the same. I think there's certainly people that do it well, but if we're going to break up our model, which is, you know, these flagships or these year rounds or even seasonals, if we're going to break that for these, like, true specialty one-offs with maybe some unique ingredients or, you know, something that's not going to be around forever, maybe just one batch, we're going to, I think it's fun for us to be able to put that into something more unique to that beer. And also we're at a point now where we're more recognized. We don't really have the battle of trying to, you know, get the consumer to understand who's brewing it. Just having that stag on there opens up that door for us so we can play a little bit more within sort of our label designs, especially if they're, again, if they're these one-offs.
Yeah. So, which I think is a great approach. You've built up a pretty good brand, you know, like brand awareness. People know who you are partially because of the trademark, but also because you built a great brand, visual branding, brand system so that people mm-hmm. recognize it. And so then I think that, you know, I think this is a really great approach because then, right, as you're saying, able to break off into these like kind of more specialty one-off releases and still have the recognition from that stag and from, you know, from mm-hmm. the logo and the marks and allow you to be more creative, which I think makes total sense. And I want to move from that a bit into talking about the photography and video marketing that you've been doing, which you'd be getting some attention for, justifiably so.
But, sure, thanks, man. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But before I kind of want to start like not really go with a direct tie between these one-off releases with these like awesome marketing videos you've done, because we'll get to that because I think those are awesomely like done tied together. But going back a little bit, like, so you started doing some really great photography and then you started getting into some video work or maybe there was side by side. But mm-hmm. so can you maybe explain a little bit like how the photography assisted in this branding and like, cause you stage these photos really well. They're very like elegant. They've got a lot of, they're glamour shots and they look really great. When you started taking these photos, like when you redesigned the branding and the packaging, you started putting out these awesome photos, like how did that like support, you know, the work that you were doing?
Sure. I mean, you know, again, for us, it was really trying to drive this message of quality behind everything that we're doing. And even the mantra is we take the beer seriously, not ourselves. But ultimately, like the setting, it was just trying to put this change people's perceptions, I think, is really hard in this market. And to just immediately just do, you know, a rebrand and not really kind of further that along. For me, it was like, well, if we're going to spend this effort and really try to change people's perceptions and the focus on what we're putting out there, like our marketing had to change. And I've certainly, you know, played around with photography for a while, but it was at that point where I was like, okay, we'll invest in some decent lights and I'm going to put my head down and really try to focus on like how we market this beer. And it's not going to be on a photo on a phone. It's going to be, I want to set the scene and tell the story of that beer through the way we market it, not necessarily the label. Because again, we came from every beer had a story. And I like that approach. I like being able to tell these beer stories. But for us, we took it maybe off the label and then put it into the videos that we make and the photography that was associated with these beers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then, so what kind of mileage are you getting out of these, like these amazing, you know, like, photos you're taking, like obviously website, social media, but I mean, has there been any other like sales sheets or has there been any other like mileage you're getting out of these like amazing, like awesome photos?
I think good photography can, it does a few things. I think mileage internally. Yeah, definitely. Like your sales sheets. We put it posters internally at our locations. Obviously like websites and obviously all those social media platforms, things like that. It's just nice to have high quality stuff. And then we also have a media kit on the website where people can download like a beer blog writer or any, you know, newscaster or blogger or something like that can take our assets and put it out there. So we know that whatever they're going to use is usually going to be something high quality that we're investing time into. For sure. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So then from the still photography, you started doing these really great little promotional videos of the beer releases that you're putting out. And the gentleman's name is Joe, right?
Joe. Joe Sanders is our sales guy. Yeah, and our actor.
And your lead actor, the one and only lead. Okay. So So he's a great character and he's like, I mean, if you didn't, did he come from like an acting background? Because I'm sure you probably
no, man. No? It's crazy. Like he's just the best way to describe Joe is he's just this powerhouse of charisma and charm without like any subconsciousness or any, like, he's just that guy normally. And he's not afraid in front of the camera. And as someone who's making videos and worked elsewhere, it's like, that is such a nice, that's why actors get paid so much, right? Because like, yeah, they're comfortable and they're able to like deliver a message. Right. And Joe can do that without, you know, we're a running gun situation, and having someone like that on the team is kind of everything. It also, immediately when we first started this, I was like, okay, we're going to push Joe in everything, because not only is he good in front of the camera, but he's also our sales manager. I mean, he's really our only sales guy. Again, we're a team of four, and including Joe, and he's the guy out there actually selling the beer to these accounts that have likely seen him in this video.
Yeah,
that's getting traction online. So it's been like a 1-2 punch for us, and it's working well because he's so recognized now after doing this for, you know, a good 6 months or so. We've been working on our video stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, I want to talk about the evolution of that.
Cool.
Right. So you got Joe, super charismatic, which helps.
Yeah.
But you started doing these videos, which I think more breweries should do, because they don't have to be super as polished as the ones that you created. Obviously, yeah, if you can do that, that's nice. But I mean, you know, with editing software and how good cameras are on phones these days, I mean, you can do a really relatively inexpensive setup to do some decently professional videos. But so you had Joe, whenever you'd come out with a beer, you would do like in this nice little like promo video of Joe would talk about the ingredients, and you would show these shots of him like pouring it into a glass. And I've seen other breweries do it. Obviously, you guys did it with some more like charisma and life to it, and some interesting angles and stuff.
Yeah, those sort of weekly beer updates. That's how it started. And even if you like watch the first one, where it's clearly neither of us were comfortable doing it yet, up until like the last one, which is, and they're still ongoing, but we've also started shifting more into like more production videos versus just those. But that was just a way for us to, again, try to connect more within the community and sort of capitalize on the strength that we have of my understanding around a camera and Joe's comfortability and eagerness to be in front of it. You know, like, it was just, it would have been irresponsible not to do something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, for us, it's just like, it's a different way. It's a point of differentiation versus just, you know, an announcement on Facebook of a new beer release on tap. And this was mostly just for all draft stuff, but it's like, well, we can shoot a couple in a day and just release these things when new beers come on tap. And it's putting, again, Joe out there more in the public eye. We're getting more engagements. We're getting, you know, we're putting ourselves out there in the community further. And I would agree. Like, I think any brewery should invest more into the video side of things. And ultimately, I think any brewery should invest in just, you can get a decent camera for a pretty minimal investment, and it just takes time to learn it. But I think having something like that in-house is so helpful and so beneficial.
Yeah, right. I think you guys have been kind of in this like insane situation of, I don't want to say insane, but just the team you have, it seems like it's all the right people in the right place at the right time. So
yeah, I think we're pretty lucky having sort of, and it is a little unique in certain, you know, circumstances, but it's not like unattainable. And we certainly don't have like some monopoly on creative content. I think there's amazing stuff out there, but I think we're small and it's in-house, which gives us that like power of speed and that power of flexibility at a low cost, where it might, you know, cost another small brewery more than they can afford to hire out that creative agency, which can be an amazing offer. And ultimately you're going to get amazing results, but the investment's higher. So we can just kind of play and throw things at the wall and just have fun with it. Because that risk and that you know, fear of not getting that ROI is a bit lower.
Yeah. So how did you then move from doing these, you know, well done kind of promotional videos of these beers coming out, which, you know, were a bit more static. They were, I say static in that, you know, you were in at the bar, at the brewery, to these more, you know, scripted, more theatrical type videos that have like plots, like storylines, and then
some even scripts and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That are tied to these more like building up this crazy, like promotion for a more of like a one-off specialty release. Like, how did that?
Yeah. Well, it kind of came in two parts. Initially, we were doing that weekly beer update because we noticed, at least in this town, in this market, no one was really doing it. And we wanted to put Joe out there more. And it was easy for us. It was pretty low pressure. It was like we put a camera on a tripod and Joe talked about the beer that we tapped in the pub that week. But we, you know, we started having conversations of we wanted to put more one-offs out there and we can market it, you know, because at that time we had maybe done like one or two of these videos, but they take some time and they're really only for those specialty stuff. But we, you know, after a few months, we both got really, we both sort of settled into our process a bit more. Like I could make these a lot faster now than I could then. And I can, you know, and Joe is more comfortable in front of the camera now than he is then, than he was then. And so we also are just releasing more beers now than we were then. And so with those beers, we always want to do a video with them because we always think like that's how we're going to tell the story of this beer. And that's really how we're going to put our personality out there more. And so it just ended up having just this evolution of we're putting more beers out there more frequently. And therefore, I think people react, have a better connection with these than maybe these weekly beer updates. Cause I look at them differently. Like the weekly beer updates are, for me, they're a replacement to like that picture of here's our new tap list this week. This is like, instead of that, we're going to put Joe out there and he's going to talk about the beer and we'll put some glamour shots behind it. But it's like pretty template driven. Like I usually do the same shots every time, right? It's more informative versus these videos for these can releases, these one-offs that we're talking about, like that is really story driven. And so you can't, I wanted the connection to be stronger and have a, you know, a more cohesive storyline within that beer that we're putting out.
Mm. Yeah. So,
and ultimately they're more fun. I mean, like,
yeah,
yeah. Kind of a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you got a pretty great, guest blog, post, all about this stuff, on the Beervana blog, which is from author and writer Jeff Allworth, who I had on the show not too long ago. Yeah. And kind of just talking about this in general, you know, like one of your quotes here that you had here is just like, you know, people who are moved or connect with a story are much more likely to buy your product than those who feel nothing.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, just talk about that a little bit. I mean, it's just like, because like the beer market's so saturated. So if you go to the shelf, it's like beer after beer after beer. So you're kind of saying like, if you can get somebody to feel something, then they're more likely to connect. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, 100%, right? Like I look at, and this is maybe through the scope of Portland or any sort of really saturated beer market, like the baseline's already high. Like everyone's making really high quality beer that's focused on, like, even nowadays, it's focused on quick turnarounds and rotated and specialty releases that are frequent. Like that's almost becoming a baseline, which is really hard on its own. I think, well, then if that becomes the baseline, really what is going to really move that consumer to choose you over the person next to you on the shelf? And to me, it's gotta be more. And for us, our strength just happened to be in this realm. I think it's probably individual and situational for every brewery, but we established these strengths we had, and it happened to be, you know, I can use a camera and we have it in house, and Joe's good in front of a camera and we'd like to do it. And so we just capitalize on that essentially.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And I don't know, I think it kind of reminds me a little bit. I think somebody else who's doing this well, I think would be, and they're in super, super crazy artistic, like Alvarado Street Brewing.
Oh yeah, sure.
Well, they have a ton of crazy cans, but from like the promotional like videos I've seen, they're also just like these like super like characters. And I think, you know, kind of going back to what you said a little bit is, you know, how, you know, kind of just like buying into kind of that feeling like connection with, you know, being more, just not like less of just like a product, you know, you know, it's not you don't feel like you're being advertised to, you know, which nobody likes, you know,
this day and age.
Yeah.
You constantly, you can't avoid it. And so it's nice giving it. And again, this is, we want that message. Our mantra is really like, we take our beer seriously, not ourselves. And this is like a good way for us, because the people in the video, it's just people that work at Old Town. We're real small. You know what I mean? And I think having that connection, and I know firsthand, it's made Joe's life a lot easier selling beer, because people, he can walk into those pubs or not the pubs, but like, you know, bars and tap houses or wherever he's selling that beer, and they immediately know him because they just saw that video that we released. Like, that is a really strong connection. Sure, yeah, it's locally focused, but I think that's where the market's going anyway. So trying to cut out that exposure and that sort of that market exposure is really helpful for us. And ultimately, like, you know, if we're talking like successes, like, we've seen since we started the rebrand and the videos specifically, like, we've seen like a 50% increase in overall outside sales, which is great for, I mean, I think it, that's been a really telling sign that what we're starting to do is starting to work.
Mm. Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, I was just about to ask like how that all resulted. So you basically said about a 50% increase then from where you were at.
Yeah. I mean, and that's in sales, but, and also in other ways, like we're being offered more collaborations and just like more fun things to do with festivals, and our social media engagements have doubled, which is also great. But yeah, I mean, there's been a tremendous amount of success just by changing the message and the story we're putting out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the power of really the rebrand, where it isn't just labels. Like, all this kind of came to fruition from, it was just a step, it was sort of this evolution of, you know, we want to change the message, and those goals were to connect more and put out more stuff and really, you know, engage further. And I think it's hard to tackle that with any one aspect, but for us, it was really the identity sort of directed how we market that identity, and sort of what's came from that is where we are now.
Yeah. And so I think one of the big questions, I think, which I think came about on your guest blog article, your guest article on Beervana blog, was the ROI, like, or the return on investment for these videos, because they can be time consuming. If you don't have somebody on your team that can do video, then it can become expensive. So I mean, how and you touch on this, but like in the article, but how are you measuring the return on investment? Just kind of curious, like the metrics, and like tangible and maybe more intangible kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think it is really tough to establish if we're talking like marketing in general, and especially videos, like, well, how does a brewery know how, you know, what your return on investment, like, how do you know if it is successful? And I think you just have to establish goals before you go into it. And our goals were, partly, yeah, to sell more beer and to gain more market exposure. But then, like, for us, it was also just changing our the message and getting more engagements. And ultimately, you know, you can look at your view counts and your rate of plays with videos and your click throughs and all these things. But it takes one. It's hard to get true metrics, or it can be really expensive having software to get these kind of metrics. And for us, it was, we just started seeing immediate successes with, you know, we're small enough, we're going to notice a bump in beer sales, and we're going to notice a higher following within these months. Like, we're tracking those sort of things, obviously. And so seeing those immediate bumps was pretty telling. And then just slowly tracking that out from there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, if you were a lot bigger and you had a lot more advertising and marketing stuff out there, then it gets more complicated to try to track that stuff.
When it's just, and, you know, again, like, our investments are just likely smaller than someone else who has to hire that creative agency to shoot it and edit it and produce it and put it out there. Like, that creative overhead can be really expensive. And so the fact that we are keeping it in-house, obviously it's not free, like, we're still paying for Joe and my time to produce these things, but it's likely a lot less. And so therefore, that pressure of that ROI, we can focus our goals less on, can we make immediate, you know, dollar signs behind this? Because again, our goals were not necessarily just to make more money, but also just to kind of be more present in the market and engage and connect. Mm. And we were trying to change perception. And with that, it's not necessarily just more sales. It's, we're changing, you know, the story that people are telling about us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, building a brand, it's, you know, it takes time. There's not like any single touch point. There's so many different things that like build up what a brand is, and you just have to be on top of it. And
It's about that repeat. I mean, and I think that's a big part of it too. Like, I think if we did one of those videos, it wouldn't have mattered. But the fact that we're doing them all the time, like, that is our source of marketing. That is our direction. That's what we're investing in.
Yeah.
We're starting to get known for that, which is great.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was I mentioned that when I was writing an email to Jeff about the video stuff. And I was, mm-hmm. I kind of said a similar thing. And I was like, you know, when you know, your first article you posted on your website, I mean, were you a beer writer or a beer author? Like, no, but by the time you posted your 20th article, yeah, you were starting to be known as like a legitimate beer writer. I mean, and I don't know this for a fact for him or not. He might've been a badass author before, but I was using that as just an example. Right. So like, mm-hmm. like you're saying, it's like, if you're a brewery and you put out one beer, I mean, I guess if you have a building and you have all the equipment, yeah, you're a brewery, but you know, like same thing with these videos,
yeah.
You know, it's like you put out one, like you might get some traction, but then that's going to be there and gone. But it just takes time. And then people all of a sudden start, you know, becoming used to those videos coming out and being like, oh, that's that brewery that makes these like hilarious or like funny videos that you know, always tie in with these like great beers. So just, yeah, stick with
and,
it.
And for us, that's that distinction on the shelf. Like, I think good branding will take you there, but because Portland is so concentrated, like there has to be a little more. And so if they see that stag and either associate us with the trademark thing that happened last year, or, you know, what's happening more and more are these videos, that is a topic of conversation. And, you know, that I think that's a better connection, and likely maybe, you know, people would pick up the beer for those reasons, you know, not just because the branding looks great or the beer style is what they want. I think that baseline is already there.
Yeah. And I think another point too, I think we might have just touched on it barely, but it's just the idea of not making it like a commercial or like an advertisement. You know, I think it needs to be, I mean, just like entertaining if it can be, or, you know, at the very least, just like, don't make it feel like you are putting together a TV commercial, you know, every time. So
yeah, well, and I think when you're spending a lot of money, likely there's a lot more input, right? Because everyone is, you know, that risk is there. But for us, because it's, you know, I think less capital, you know, the owner of Old Town particular, like, he kind of lets Joe and I do anything we want, which that creative freedom is like, you can have total fun with it. It doesn't always have to be like, well, needs to hit this metric and this metric. Well, yeah, there are certain ways to get more viewership. It's likely a shorter video that's like 5 to 10 seconds, but like, I don't know, can you get the story that message across in that time? And what is the message? If it's just like, we're making this good beer, fine. But ultimately, like, well, we want to showcase more personality. We're doing it because it's fun. And I think it's fun because we have this creative freedom to do anything, whether or not, you know, it lands every time we don't have that pressure to always just hit those metrics. It's just, we want to tell our story and our personality the way, I mean, this is who we are normally. We're, you know, a bunch of people that just have fun in the brew house anyway. And so I think these videos are a good reflection of that, where it's, you know, half the time, I think Le Brut is a good example of, like, Joe and I were just driving out to the beach and I wrote it on the way out there, having no idea what it would be. And it turned out, you know, it was one of the more popular ones we've had. So it's pretty run and gun, and having that freedom, I think, is what keeps things on its toes. And I think ultimately what delivers the results that we're looking for.
So essentially, if you're a small to medium sized brewery, you just need to find yourself a team of unicorns. I guess that would be like
brewers are creative, man. Like, yeah. There's so many creative people in this market. Like, I would love to see, like, if they really, it's just getting your head around using a camera, you know, and then maybe investing in one, and then just kind of going out and having fun. Like, you can make them cheap. Like, we just did I don't know when this will be released, but we're releasing this Imperial Stout that is aged on figs. And the video concept is, I just sat in my office and then sampled sounds from the beer can that we're releasing, and then composed a song, you know, and like, that's the video. Which I don't know if that's gonna land. It was really fun, but we'll see. You know, the idea is like, figure out a composed, you know, piece of music.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what we did with the video, which is very different than what we've done in the past. It's something new. we're unsure whether or not, you know, how well it's going to do metrically, but ultimately, like, it makes sense for the story of the beer, and we had fun doing it.
Right. Well, sounds like you guys have a lot of fun. And I think, I think that shows, you know, again, talking about like trying not to like advertise somebody and the creativity side of thing. You know, I think, you know, consumers and customers and people out there are seeing the authenticity of, you know, these brands, like what you're doing and your brand, and just showing that you're having fun and not being, you know, too serious, you know,
at the end of the day, man, we're making beer, you know, we're like talking about beer and drinking beer and making beer. Like, I think, yeah, the market's tough because everyone's doing it because it's so fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I think that's a great spot to leave it off here. Keep talking, but where should people go to learn more about yourself and Old Town? Sure. And where can people go to see these videos, these really well done videos?
Cool. You can, for all things Old Town, you can go to their website, which is otbrewing.com, and then their Instagram is at Old Town Brewing Co. And then for me personally, you can find a lot of my work on my website, which is Jordan Wilson Designs, or my Instagram or at Twitter or wherever, which is Jordan W Designs. And through that, you can find all the avenues. And, you know, I do a bunch of case studies. You can see something on this Old Town labels we were talking about and videos and stuff like that as well.
Sweet. Well, cool, man. Yeah, I appreciate you taking some time and sharing some insights behind the rebrand. And it's kind of fun to hear the evolution of, you know, how you guys started this rebrand, and like, you know, where you came from and how that evolved to the whole video game. And so, hopefully people out there find that beneficial, I think, and maybe can be like relate to that and maybe try to take some inspiration or some ideas from it.
Yeah, man, I hope so.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool, man. Thanks again for your time. Appreciate you joining, and we'll have to be in touch again soon.
Absolutely, man. My pleasure.